Operation Baby Chimp. I'm Suzanne Perez, and welcome to The Range. Coming up, a look at the legacy of Volga German immigrants in Kansas.
They decided that this was the perfect area because the ground itself was pretty much like it was in Russia.
But first, if your toddler broke a finger and had other scrapes and bruises, you would get him to a doctor right away. But what do you do if that toddler also swings from trees, runs around on all fours, and, oh yeah, is a chimpanzee? Turns out sometimes you call the same doctor. Meg Britton Mellish has more.
2-year-old Alizetti is a ball of energy. She's one of the youngest members of the chimpanzee troop at the Sedgwick County Zoo, and her energy is perhaps only matched by her independence streak. Earlier this month, Alizetti did what all independent toddlers sometimes do. She went her own way. While members of the zoo's chimpanzee troop were headed outside for the day, Alizetti decided to hang back in her room. The troop's alpha male, Moshi, went back to the room to move young Alizetti along.
Unfortunately, there was a conflict between the alpha male, Moshi, and Alizetti, and sometimes, you know, parenting can get a little rough, and there was an injury that was sustained from it.
That's Dr. Hannah Arns, director of animal health at the zoo. Zoo staff separated Moshi and Alizetti right away, and Arns gave Alizetti a checkup. She saw that Alizetti had lost 2 of her front baby teeth and had a major injury to her 4th right toe. Arne said that while she and her team treat all manner of animal ailments daily, for this injury she decided to make a call.
If there's somebody who can do it better than us, to give her the best chance, it's somebody who does surgery on hands multiple times a day.
Arne's called Dr. Chad Corrigan, the director of orthopedic trauma at Wesley Medical Center. Corrigan had helped mend the dislocated shoulder of another chimpanzee about a decade earlier. Corrigan assembled a team that included Dr. Zachary Hansen, an orthopedic surgeon, and Dr. Matthew Lewis, a plastic surgeon. The team spent a day studying chimp anatomy. They noted the similarities between a chimpanzee's foot and a human hand. And Lewis said they thought about what would give Alizetti the best chance at using her feet like chimps do, to run and grip and climb.
In humans, we would try to salvage it by putting the bone back together and reconstructing the tendons, but it's not fair to do that to a chimpanzee because you kind of want to get them back climbing and whatnot as quick as possible.
Over the course of an hour-long surgery, the team amputated the injured toe and used one of its tendons to move Alizetti's pinky toe over in its place. They then closed up the wound and gave Alizetti a chimp-proof bandage, a bright pink cast. In the days since, Arne said that Alizetti's been busy recovering in her room under the watch of her foster mom, Bee. She's getting similar pain medication to human patients and a boatload of new toys and zippers to distract her from her injury and new cast.
She's actually bouncing back way faster than we want her to. They just showed us a video of her kind of scaling the wall and then bouncing down with her cast, and, you know, it makes every medical person cringe a little bit, so she wants to play.
This week, Hansen will return to the zoo to remove the cast and see how Alizetti's healing. He said his daughter, Blake, is anxiously awaiting the results.
My daughter thought it was very cool. She was at home telling my wife that Daddy's working on monkeys at the zoo, which was very cute. So my hope is that we'll be able to come back and see her fully recovered, and she'll be doing well.
For The Range, I'm Meg Britton Mellish.
For more information on Meg's story, go to KMUW.org. In some communities in western Kansas, you can still spot the influence of German immigrants who settled there. Their descendants will mark a notable anniversary this year, as Becky Tanner explains in this month's Hidden Kansas.
150 years ago, Volga Germans left their mark on the Kansas prairie by using native limestone to build monuments to their faith. The Basilica of St. Fidelis in Victoria, with its landmark twin spires, is known as the Cathedral of the Plains. They also left their marks in other ways, with foods such as the Bierock, award-winning beers, and turkey red winter wheat. Their story begins in the mid-1700s, when they were invited to the steppes of Russia at the invitation of Catherine the Great.
And after Catherine died, her son ruled Russia and revoked all those manifest points that were given to those people to entice them to Russia. And so they decided, well, now is the time to get out, because they were starting to conscript a lot of our people to go to war.
That's Kevin Rupp, office manager, liturgist, and organist at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Hays. Some of his ancestors were among the first to arrive in Ellis County in 1876.
They sent a delegation to the United States, and they decided that this was the perfect area because the ground itself was pretty much like it was in Russia.
These immigrants traveled by ships and trains, and once in Kansas, the first thing they built were churches. At first, there were skeptical neighbors.
They were called dirty Russians. So they were made fun of because of their language, of course, was different. You know, they spoke in German, and a kind of a mix, Russian was kind of thrown in.
Now, 150 years later, it's not hard to find the influences of German culture in this part of the state. Gela's restaurant in Hays serves green bean dumpling soup and grebel, fried dough. At family gatherings, it's not unusual to find Bierox, Klaus Neffel, sour soup, Streuselkuchen, wedding soup, and Mawurst, a pressed hamburger dish. And some local donut shops, you can still hear old-timers discussing the local news in German. This year, to celebrate the 150th anniversary of Olga Germans in Kansas, Hays will host a series of events celebrating the immigrants' lasting impact on the state. Does this mean there will be dancing in the streets?
There won't be dancing in the streets. There'll be dancing in the hall. But if it spills out in the streets, you can't help that.
For The Range, I'm Becky Tanner.
Hidden Kansas explores intriguing spots across our state. You can read more about the Volga German immigrants at kmuw.org. Before we go, a few words on snow days. Wichita area students and teachers got a little reprieve from their normal routines this week, thanks to bitter cold temperatures and a blanket of snow. Ideal conditions, if you ask me, for the very best thing about winter in Kansas, the hibernating. I'm a social person, so my calendar is usually pretty full, even on weekends. But there's something about an ominous forecast that unleashes my inner introvert. What? Everything's canceled? Can't leave the house? Roads are dangerous? Say no more. Give me a stack of books and a glass of wine, and I will try to suffer through it. Journalists don't really get snow days, but last weekend was a glorious reminder of those times when a school cancellation meant instant vacation. Bring on the snow. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Beth Golay, Carly Cooper, Jonathan Huber, and Lou Ann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torin Anderson composed our theme music. The executive producer of The Range is Fletcher Powell. I'm Suzanne Perez, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.